The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
I wish I could say morning glory, America, but I really can't. I went to bed knowing it would be bad on Monday morning. I didn't know how bad. Last night, there was just a video of a car running through a parade in Wisconsin, and I didn't realize that five people would be dead and more than 40 people would be injured when I turned on, began to do the morning brief at 4:50 this morning. From the Washington Post, updated last night at 8 p.m., five people were killed and more than 40 were injured after a driver in an SUV plowed through a Christmas parade in Waukesha, Wisconsin, Sunday evening. Waukesha, Wisconsin, Sunday evening. The number of those dead and injured could increase as more information is gathered, the Waukesha Police Department said early Monday morning. Authorities have recovered the driver's vehicle and have taken one person into custody, Waukesha Police Chief Dan Thomas said at a news conference Sunday night. Waukesha Fire Chief Stephen Howard said first responders activated their mass casualty protocols and took 23 people to hospitals, including 12 children. You can stop and pray right there. That's just awful. It's 9/11 in its ferocity at one place. It's a not 3,000 people dead, but when you hear 12 children taken to the hospital because somebody drove a car through a Christmas parade, I just don't think it gets much worse than this. The vehicle broke through the barricades around 4:40 p.m., which would be, I believe, 5:40 on the East Coast and 2:40 on the West, roughly 40 minutes after the parade began. In interviews, witnesses recounted the terrifying scene after the vehicle barreled into the crowd, shattering the festive mood at the annual Christmas parade in Waukesha, about 20 miles west of Milwaukee. I looked up Waukesha on Wikipedia yesterday, advertising the best of both worlds, the city and the rural life, the suburban, it's just perfect little town. Waukesha Mayor Sean Riley participated in the parade, described a jubilant atmosphere that quickly turned nightmarish. Today we experienced a horrible, senseless tragedy. He said, I walked in the parade at the beginning. I saw all the happy children sitting on the curb. I saw all the happy parents behind their children. I can still see the smiling faces. In a video of the parade streamed by the city on its Facebook page, the SUV is seen speeding down the parade route seconds after a marching band playing Jingle Bells had passed. Onlookers screamed at the sight of the vehicle barreling down Main Street, whizzing past a Jeep that outfitted in Christmas lights as a police officer chased the SUV on foot. After the parade carried on a few minutes, the emergency vehicle sped by, sirens and lights blaring as a group of children dancing with snowflake props tried to carry on with their performance. A police officer fired at the SUV in an attempt to stop it, said Thompson, the police chief. No bystanders were injured by the gunfire. Carly Sterrell, an intern at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel newspaper, attended the parade with her family, who took their spots next to parents and children with candy bags and blankets. It was supposed to be an exciting event, Sterrell, 20, said in an interview with the Post. A bunch of little kids were here. People were there to get in the holiday season. Minutes later, the SUV shot past Sterrell and her family, and they watched it rammed into participants. She counted four people injured on the pavement in front of her. All around her, people were screaming and crying as they rushed to the stores for shelter and tried to help those injured. Everyone was just watching the parade go by and having a good time, Sterrell said. I didn't think anyone expected anything like this to happen. That's exactly true. If you're watching on the Salem News Channel download right now, you'll see the carnage of a parade. It's like a bad, horrible, nightmarish scene. Because everybody is there with cameras. There's going to be more video of this than anyone ever needs to see, except to know that their lives are blessed by not being there. And everybody, you've got, again, if you haven't got the Salem News Channel, you won't have all that we've collected, but you can go and download it. There are hundreds of people there and little children doing the snowflake stuff and dancing around, and one little girl is dancing on the sidewalk when this crazed killer goes by, and Dad gets her out of the way and looks back, and off it goes. Now, the Milwaukee Dancing Grannies, which describes itself as a group of grannies that meets once a week to practice dance routine for parades, said its members were also injured. Quote, please keep the grannies, all those injured and all those who witnessed this horrible event in your thoughts and prayers. School was canceled for today, of course. Just play that tape again, Ben, so that people can see it. You can go running around for it and look, and you'll see the marching bands again. I don't think anything will ever be this videotaped, and it's pretty tough to watch. You don't want the saxophone players, the local high school band, it's cold, and this driver just doesn't care. There's a stunned band member watching. That we will see more than we can possibly see. There's nothing more to say about this other than I hope you will pray. The identity of the suspect has been released on Twitter. I haven't seen it on a major news channel yet. Dwayne can send me a major news release, and I'll read it when I see it in a major news outlet. I am not going to make the mistake of naming the wrong person on the air. But I do want you to think of the thousands of phone calls that were made last night. Because, grandparents and parents who were not there. I think of military moms and dads who are deployed who were not there. I think of aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters and loved ones and people who didn't go. It's just one of those things where if you get to be my age at 65, you've had a lot of phone calls in your life. That's why I laugh at people who are young and reporting with furrowed eyebrows on stuff and who are solemn in their pronouncements. And I know the Archbishop is listening right now. I know he's already in prayer, actually. The one guy I know who's always listening in the morning is Archbishop Chaput, who's a buddy of mine. And I know that he's gone to prayer, and a lot of people will. And I normally begin Monday with Victory Monday for the Buckeyes and Victory Monday for the Browns, and I could do that today, but this is just awful. So awful. And violence is awful everywhere, but it's almost horrifically so. It has nothing to do with the trial and the verdict and the shootings. It has nothing to do with that, as far as we know, and I don't think that's going to change. There's a narrative that has it tied to another crime and a getaway, which makes sense to me. But we'll wait for authorities, and not going to name anybody. All I know is that there are thousands of people impacted because you do a geometric progression from 40 injured and 5 dead. But people who don't ever unsee it, or a town that doesn't come back, and 12 children, when I say 12 children are at the hospital in critical condition. So what do you do with that? You take it in prayer and you reflect on it and you thank God and your lucky stars that it's not you, and you pray for those it is. You know, one thing you can do, we are beginning today our prison fellowship annual drive for children whose moms and dads are in prison. And this might be counterintuitive because someone's going to go to jail for this forever, if not the death penalty. I don't know the Wisconsin law. It's an intentional murder. It's premeditated. Do you intend to drive down the street? You're not lying in wait, but when you start mowing down people, that's about as premeditated as it gets. We had one of these things happen in Santa Monica, and I thought at first last night, I wonder if an old person got confused and drove into the street, because that happened in Santa Monica. If you know, that's not it. This is an intentional, I'm going to get away from somewhere, and I don't care how many people I have to kill, or marching bands I have to drive through, or dancing grannies I have to mow down. And so the anger in my voice is mixed with the pity of that. But this is the day that I begin a week early so I can get ahead of Gallagher. Angel tree asking you to support a child whose mom or dad is in jail. So it might be counterintuitive. But those children are not guilty. Those children are as innocent as these children. So the only thing you can do with tragedy is do an act of kindness in response. So I'd encourage you to go over to HughHewitt.com and donate. That's the only thing, or any other. Go to your church and make a donation, find a homeless person. The only thing you can do in the face of senseless tragedy. And I have two stacks of stuff, by the way. I have a very short stack of good news and a huge stack of bad news. Because I went off Twitter after the Rittenhouse verdict. I said, I don't need this. And I got back on for two other things. I tweeted out, because I'd never seen a perfect half of football before, and the Ohio State Buckeyes played a perfect half of football. And I pointed that out to people. And then I got on when the Chinese hypersonic news broke last night that it's even bad. It's worse than we thought. So I'll cover all that today. But then this comes along and you say to yourself, I'm glad I live in America. I'm glad I'm free. I'm glad I can pray to my God. But my goodness, there's a lot of evil and tragedy in the world. Redeem the day. Go in and buy some joy for a child who doesn't have much joy in their life. Over at HughHewitt.com, the Angel Tree banner is at the top. That's about the only recommendation I can make. I'll bring you updates. I'll bring you the rest of the news after this. Don't go anywhere, America. It's Monday of Thanksgiving week, and it's a horrible Black Monday to start a week of rejoicing, and we will on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. It's Monday. That means I'm joined by Selena Zito. She's a columnist for the New York Post, the Washington Examiner, and many other places. And Selena, this morning I was going to talk about your column, but now I just want to ask you, what do you do about something like Wisconsin? I really have no words for it.
It really is incredibly tragic. I was in Waukesha not that long ago, like 3 months ago, and had dinner. It's a suburb of Milwaukee, and I had fish fry at a supper club and was just, you know, just like the nicest people in the world, very sort of sleepy little exurb. When you see news like that, it's just gutting, you know, because you immediately project, right? The first victims they talk about are children and older people, and you project, you think about your children, your grandchildren, your parents, and it really hits home because it's happening just, you know, literally on Main Street in America, and it's hard to comprehend why anyone would do anything like this purposely. And so you have that emotion. And then, you know, if you make the unfortunate decision to go on social media and to look for the news, you can't help but be confronted with the immediate reaction by people who just want to turn everything into something political. And it's really disturbing to see how much people just want to promote hate.
Now, Twitter is cancer.
Yeah.
Twitter is online cancer. And, you know, I took a 72-hour, almost complete break from it after the Rittenhouse verdict because I just didn't want to bathe in filth. Yeah. And both sides now and three sides, four sides, I mean, just an endless amount of sort of online depravity. I just said, nah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to watch football. But I haven't spent much time on Twitter this morning except to post an appeal for Angel Tree. And to quote the New York Times piece about the little blue chair and the little pink chair at the parade. But you're absolutely right. I immediately thought of there's a parade over in Old Town Alexandria every year. It's a Scottish Day parade. It's like the worst parade in America. Yeah. And it is the worst parade in America, but it's wonderful. You know, like they've got Westies and they've got bagpipers and whoever shows up, right? It's like in Pasadena, that crazy parade. There are parades all over, and the kids love them. Little children love parade, and people throw candy to little children. And I'm just thinking, I usually take the Scholar, the Artful Dodger, and Genghis Kate, my three grandkids, whenever I can to anything like this. Can you imagine?
I just took my grandchildren to a parade. So, you know, but as I said, you project. You think, oh, my God, what would I have done had that been in front of me? Would I have been intuitive enough to know to pull them back? When I go to a parade again, do I think about something like this?
Of course you do.
Parades are joyful. Parades are joyful experiences. They are the epitome of community gatherings because not only are the people attending it, your neighbors, your friends, there's 3-4 degrees separation of just about everyone that's at the parade. The same goes for the people who are participating in the parade. They work forever to in the high school band to perfect their march down the main street. This means a lot to them to be seen by their parents, their grandparents, and their classmates. We have veterans that walk in parades and all kinds of...
The dancing grannies. Yeah, it is sort of the best thing of America to have the dancing grannies. And and marching bands, by the way. I make fun of marching bands. Okay, I love marching bands. Dwayne is a bandy, right? He just directed traffic for 5 million band kids. And band kids are great, and band parents are great, and dancing grannies and little kids. And by the way, don't put on your racial glasses. Don't put on any glasses at all. It's just human beings having some joy.
Incredibly joyful. I was a majorette in high school, in a city high school in Pittsburgh.
You should never have told me that, Selena. You should never have told me that. Wait a minute, Selena. Wait, stop. All right, stop. Wait a minute. Can you still do that thing?
I can still do that thing.
You can?
I just taught my granddaughter how to spin the baton.
You did? Do we have a video of that we can play?
No.
Oh, come on. Send us the Selena Bonet, Meredith. Can you do the way up in the air thing?
No.
Could you, at your height of your majorette-ness, could you do it?
I was a low-level majorette.
Oh, come on. You're being very, very humble here. You could do the big thing, right? The Ohio State marching band guy, you could do that, right?
No, not at all.
Selena is a majorette.
Or major wreck. I think I put that in my high school yearbook.
No, you didn't. Did you really?
I did.
Majorette. Oh, Selena. Wait. What year? What high school? What yearbook?
High School Commodores, 1977.
Perry High School Commodores, 1977. If you have that yearbook, I want that picture. I want that picture. Hey, Selena, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. You made me laugh on a grim morning. Happy Thanksgiving to you. Go back and bake. Majorette, Selena. Oh, I'm laughing now. That's good. Because you've got to laugh. Otherwise, you'll cry. I'll be right back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt for Birch Gold. If you found yourself completely befuddled by events in Afghanistan, alarmed about inflation and otherwise uneasy, well, about everything, about Americans standing in the world, about what comes next, then you're feeling like everybody else is, and uncertainty is usually a time that you want to increase your holdings in gold. When I do that, I do it with Birch Gold. I buy my gold from Birch Gold. You can go to HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, H-U-G-H, to 474747. They will send you free information. If you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k into physical precious metals, Birch Gold is who to do that with. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, countless five-star reviews, thousands of happy customers. If you're thinking, I got to get some gold, do it with Birch Gold via HughGold.com or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's Hugh to 474747 or HughGold.com.
Morning, glory, America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. It's Monday of Thanksgiving week, and that means the family is headed towards grandmother's. Yes, I have covered extensively, if you're just tuning in, the tragedy in Wisconsin. I am joined now by Jake Sherman of Punch Bowl News. Jake, of course, a wonderful young parent, at Jake Sherman on Twitter, at Punch Bowl News. And Punch Bowl News this morning, he's covering Inside the Beltway. He doesn't cover stuff like Wisconsin, but I will nevertheless ask him about it. Good morning, Jake. How are you?
I'm okay, Hugh. And by the way, we did link to a story about this, but we didn't. But as you know, we try to stay in our lane. And if we, you know, if it doesn't have a... If it doesn't cross over into our very, very niche coverage area, we try to just stick to that despite the horrible tragedy in Waukesha.
I got to ask you about it, though. As a young parent, have you gotten into the parade years yet? As I recall, you're not in parade years yet, which is ages three and up.
Yeah, well, we are. My son is four.
Now you are into the parade years.
Yeah, we are, but we don't, I guess... you know, since we live in D.C., there aren't a ton of parades. I mean, there are, but we haven't gone to a ton of parades. Although I was just talking with my parents who were in town last night about how my son would love the New York City Thanksgiving parade because he loves, you know, those characters. So maybe we will maybe we'll watch it on TV on Thursday.
Well, over in if you drive across the river to Alexandria, Virginia, they have the Scottish parade, right? And that is definitely a sea parade. It's a great deal of fun. I love it. I've gone to it many, many times. But it's bagpipes and Westies and open cars, and John Warner would be in it until he passed away. He was always the Grand Marshal, and it was it's just what happened. It was what the setting was. It's Main Street. It's for kids. That's all it is, for marching bands and kids and dancing grannies. I think it will shock America throughout the week. I think it's going to have some repercussions. I don't think it will have anything to do with Congress. I think Congress is split, right? They're out of town.
Congress is out of town until after Thanksgiving. Yep.
So what is the deal? I'm going to have a column up at the Washington Post shortly on Nancy Pelosi's $200 million for the Presidio Park. What is the deal with that, Jake? How in the world does someone justify $200 million for your neighborhood park?
Well, it is a very nice park, but you're right. I actually have not completely seen how in the text it direct the money to the Presidio Park, whether it makes the Presidio Park eligible for the funds, or, you know, as you know, Hugh, but many people don't know, sometimes in the era of no earmarks, sometimes language is written that only makes one entity eligible. Like it says for parks that include X, Y, and Z and are of a certain size. But yeah, I mean, listen, this is the power of being a congressional leader, right? I mean, we saw Hal Rogers used to do this when he was the appropriations chair, used to shuffle lots of money to Kentucky, and Richard Shelby of Alabama does the same thing for Alabama. But you're absolutely right. It's something that people are outraged about.
You know, there is there's a tendency to figure out how to communicate the breadth and depth of pork. Feel like the Bridge to Nowhere, Ted Stevens, like Ted Stevens' Bridge to Nowhere. The $200 million for the Presidio Park is going to be in 1,000 ads. Because I've been to the Presidio, it's beautiful. It was given to the Presidio Governing Board in 1996, I believe, 25 years ago, with the intention in the original statute that if it wasn't self-sustaining, it would be turned over to the General Services Administration, like the Pennsylvania Avenue Redevelopment Corporation turned over everything on Pennsylvania Avenue to the GSA this year, I think. And instead it gets $200 million, and she lives, what, 10 blocks away? Isn't there a limit, Jake?
San Francisco's a small city, so I think most things... But, yeah, no, she lives... I believe she lives in that neighborhood. All that said, you're absolutely right. I mean, this is something that people, and you see, Chuck Schumer has touted some of the money that he's bringing back for the New York subway system and things of that nature. And on the political aspect, Hugh, we already see the Congressional Leadership Fund or American Action Network. I can't remember which one, but one of the House Republican outside groups is already running ads on this. So Your prediction that it'll be in ads is not even really a prediction as much as it is a current reality.
Oh, is the Presidio... my column may or may not be up. I don't know if it's up already. I wrote it on Friday. It goes up on Monday, saying this will be in 1,000 ads. There is no way. It's malpractice for you to run for Congress and not mention that Nancy Pelosi gave her neighborhood park $200 million. Isn't that malpractice?
It is. Well, we're already seeing it. So you're absolutely right. We're already seeing that this is becoming a political issue, that House Republicans are trying to make it a political issue. And I think that it will resonate, to be honest with you, because here's the thing. If you are a persuadable voter, meaning if you are not voting for definitely voting for a Republican or definitely voting for a Democrat, people don't like pork, right? People just don't like the smell of it, so to speak, and they don't like the vibe that it gives of the government, which is largely seen as we see this in polls right now. Excuse me, it's largely seen as spending too much money.
Well, way too much money, but $200 million for a park. People, you got to scale this down. They don't really understand, nor would I understand, what the SALT deduction is and why it goes to rich people, unless you
have spent a lot of time understanding state and local income tax, property tax deduction, but they get parks and they get $200 million, don't they?
Yeah, but I actually, yes, I think that's true. That's very tangible. Although, if you wanted to make SALT a political issue, you are able to, right? You could say that this helps out. This helps out coastal elites. I mean, that's
oh, it helps me.
Even though
it helps
it
me.
Helps me too. It helps.
I own a house in California and Virginia. I'm the person that got gouged by the Republicans, and I'm the person that's going to win under the Democrats. What are they thinking?
Well, Republicans got rid of this in the 2017 tax bill, and it was, by the way, remember, and you know this because you are a Californian at heart, and although you're not a Californian by birth, but you are a Californian at heart, the SALT deduction did screw over a bunch of Republicans, House Republicans, who voted for it and did not.
Amy Walters is in retirement today because of that.
Yes, and I remember very well McCarthy told House Republicans from California they needed to vote for the bill. Many of them did. I mean, look at Valadao; he lost after voting for it. And that's not a very extremely wealthy district. But the state and local tax deduction is a big issue. I mean, this just shows the patchwork nature of our tax system, I would say. And I think it's something that here's the reality, Hugh. I hate to say this. They couldn't pass this bill without taking care of SALT, and they won't be able to pass it through the House and the Senate once again without some sort of provision to take care of SALT.
Well, I would like to thank Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. They just made my property tax bills in Virginia and California deductible again. And that what people don't understand is I call it the working wealthy. If people are working and they have to work and they have a house in one of these rich districts, they pay a lot of property taxes. And the Republicans took away the ability to deduct that, and the Democrats are giving it back. Bravo, Democrats, because people make a deal. They buy houses usually with a 30-year time frame, and they invest, and that's how you build wealth in America. I warned McCarthy. I would argue with Kevin. Head of Ways and Means, Texas.
Brady.
Kevin Brady. I would argue with Kevin Brady. Kevin, don't do this. This is not fair. And they did it anyway because people in low real estate states figure, we're not going to subsidize California, New York. But to put it back, are the Democrats suicidal? They're going to get wiped out.
Yeah, well, here's the other thing, Hugh. I would argue that if you... this is not only for the working wealthy. I mean, there is a case to be made that you can make with a straight face that middle class residents of a state like New Jersey or New York, where you're paying massive property tax in places in Westchester, which is wealthy, but not all of Westchester is wealthy, and you're paying $50,000 a year in property tax or $30,000 a year in property tax, or the people want that to be deductible, and they're not people who are making $1 million a year. So, I think that this is a complicated issue that is not completely cut and dry. I, that's all I would say.
I would say, Jake, there are ways to limit this to hit that person who's making $200,000 or less a year, and they can do an income test. You get this if your line 14A is below $200,000, your adjusted gross income is below $200,000, you get to deduct. I mean, you can do that. They didn't do that. They just gave it away.
But there is talk now in the Senate among people like not Bernie Sanders, but also Bob Menendez, that they need to put some guardrails on this. And I think there's a wide recognition that they're going to do that.
How about Nancy Pelosi's park? Are they going to take that away from her?
We'll see. I don't think so.
We'll see. Jake Sherman, I think you're going to see a lot more retirements, as you predict, in today's Punch Bowl News after Thanksgiving. Follow Punch Bowl News at Punch Bowl News. Go get the morning newsletter. It's free. Follow Jake Sherman at Jake Sherman. Thank you, Jake. Happy Thanksgiving. I'll be right back, America, on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt live inside the Beltway on a tragic Monday morning. I'm joined by the Attorney General of Ohio. We have other things to talk about with David Yost. But David, I don't even know what you would do in a situation. What do you think your counterpart in Wisconsin is doing this morning about this?
Well, I have no idea what he's doing about this. But in Ohio, we would have scrambled our agents from BCI and put them at the availability for local law enforcement. We'd be turning over every rock. Our intel unit would be working on the electronic intelligence, looking at social media, looking for some kind of clue as to what happened here.
It's a horrible thing. I just want people to know we are aware of it. I've talked about it previously, and I will go back to it. I called you originally because last week you did an important thing about Facebook. And I'm not one to mindlessly condemn Facebook, now Meta. I know many of the people who work there. They don't intentionally, some of them, try and do this. But what you have alleged in court on behalf of Ohio and the Ohio pensions is important if it's proved, which is that Facebook intentionally put children in harm's way. And my antenna began to quiver because, you know, I do worry about this. Tell us what the lawsuit's about and what you're seeking to prove on behalf of the people of Ohio.
Well, the theory is fairly simple, and it's pretty traditional. If you're a big company that's publicly traded, you lie to the public, you lie to investors, and then when it's found out, there is a drop in the stock price. The company's liable for their deception. And that's what happened here. We saw in September and October a huge data drop of leaked documents from inside Facebook. We had the whistleblower who testified in Congress. And the upshot is Facebook knew that a third of teenage girls were experiencing mental health issues as a result of their social media usage, and they didn't care. They told the rest of us that they were implementing community standards to make sure that trolls and evil people weren't spreading bad things and hurting people on their platform. And it turns out that they didn't do that. They had rules for some of us, like you and me, Hugh, but there were other people who were had large followings and the right political profile who the rules didn't apply to them. And most tellingly, I couldn't believe this, but they conducted an internal review with legal counsel, and that review, which was also leaked, said we're not doing the things that we say we're doing publicly, and went on to conclude that they were breaching trust by their actions. I mean, that's virtually definitionally deception and fraud.
And when that happens, the value of the Facebook stock declined. The argument I believe you made is that the Ohio public employees are invested in Facebook, and they have been defrauded by Facebook's fraud, and therefore have lost money. Is that not the substance and sum of it?
That is exactly correct.
Well, you know, right now Salem is running its Culture Warriors of the Year, and you weren't nominated, David, but next year you will be if this works, because you can go and vote for a Culture Warrior of the Year, and people can and pick whoever does the most to improve the public good over at HughHewitt.com or any of the Salem News Channel. But this makes sense to me. Has any other attorney general followed suit yet?
No, but a number of my colleagues have opened investigations into Meta and Instagram looking at these allegations, but they're investigating. They haven't gone to court yet.
So I want people to understand, if Theranos defrauds investors, Theranos is liable for defrauding investors. People have to understand that. If you defraud investors, and the public employee unions are big investors, public employee pension funds are big investors, you have to pay the piper. Have you brought any other lawsuits on behalf of the pension funds, David Yost, or is this the first?
We've done one other one where there was, again, a deception, and actually a criminal deception. It's already under investigation by the Department of Justice. My predecessor occasionally has brought these cases, but they're not unprecedented in any way.
It just requires that you prove intentional fraud, right? Not mistake, but that they intended it.
That's right. And what we're not doing here, I mean, there's some plaintiff's lawyers that like to run around and, you know, sue constantly, hoping to get a settlement anytime the stock price drops. You know, here's some nuisance money to go away. But That's disreputable. I won't do that, and that's not actionable. What we're talking about here is outright lying, and that's been against the law for a long time.
A long time. Good for you. I wanted people to know about this because other attorney generals listen to this. I think it's a wonderful way to hold social media companies accountable for everything that they do. I also want to give you props. You might get nominated for this Culture Warrior of the Year twice, David, because of the robocalls. And if you win this, General Yost, America may celebrate you with toasts forever. You might be immortalized in song and verse if you win this, because there isn't anybody who likes these robocalls in which someone is speaking a different language on the other end, right? What are you doing about them?
Well, I'm working with a lot of my colleagues on this. This is one where we actually have bipartisan agreement. One of the things, the main thing that we did last week is we're zooming in on this spoofing, where it looks like somebody you know is calling you or somebody from your neighborhood. That just needs to be made illegal, and we should enforce it through the voice over internet providers. Look, you don't need a fake ID if what you're doing is above board.
You know what? I've often told people, back in the day, remember when the boiler rooms used to operate and they would call and say, somehow they would find your name and they'd get you on the phone and they'd try and sell you penny stock and they'd say, that was illegal as could be. Well, it's the same thing going on now, but it's just via my phone. And I saw you took action on this, so I want to applaud you on that. Now, David Yost, the most important story of the weekend that is not bad news involves a perfect half of football. A perfect half of football. I mean, nothing's perfect, right? But you watched that game.
Was.
Shouldn't they be illegal? Shouldn't Ryan Day be jailed for running a perfect offense against Michigan State and cruelly using those poor Spartans? Shouldn't that be illegal?
We're going to open an investigation sometime in February of 2022.
Now, we don't say the name of the state up north this week. And I did not play my usual song because of the tragedy this morning, as I usually play. I'll start tomorrow. But I want to know, do attorney generals get to go to the game by right?
No, we have to buy our tickets like everybody else. And for many years, I was always in the stadium. But my dad is getting up there a little bit. And I always go to his house on Saturday. He can't get to the stadium anymore. And we watch the game together. So I'll be in my dad's house in the easy chair next to his, toasting yet another victory. I'm confident.
Over the state up north. Now, let me ask you, General, did you watch the Browns game yesterday?
I saw part of it.
All right, here's my takeaway.
Painful.
Well, it was painful for Baker. I'm 100% with Baker. He was playing with one limb yesterday. And so I am encouraging you to hire him for the toughest assignment you've got, because there is no tougher individual in the NFL than Baker Mayfield. He wasn't very good, but honest to goodness,
that.
Heart?
Miles and miles of heart.
Miles was there, too. I mean, he didn't make any sense. I can't believe the Lions almost beat the Browns. I can't believe it. That would have been illegal, too. Were you preparing the papers?
I'll look into it this afternoon.
Attorney General David Yost, happy Thanksgiving to you. Good work on Facebook. I really applaud you on that. Thank you, my friend. David Yost is one. You know, attorneys general do great stuff. And I did mention the Culture Warriors of the Year that we do every year. And the listeners nominate the nominees. You can go find them over at HughHewitt.com or any of the Salem News Channel or anywhere else. Go and get that and make your vote. Listeners, just remember, next year, nominate David Yost. Because if he can stop the robocalls, he wins. We shouldn't even accept other nominations if David Yost can stop the robocalls. We're not going to have any other nominations. I do want to remind everyone that we have covered already the tragedy and the crime in Wisconsin. I'm going to continue to update it. There has not yet been an official release from the police department on the name of the suspected killer and driver who mowed down the parade goers. And my appeal to you this morning is the appeal that I make whenever I see, try to do some good today. And it happens to be the day that I start my Angel Tree Prison Fellowship
make a donation. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I made our donation this morning. I would encourage you, if you are just leveled by that degree of depravity involved in this, and running down, you know, we're going to have to find blood alcohol levels. I don't believe it's connected to anything else, as far as I can tell, but I don't know much, and neither do you. Nobody does. And we won't know until the defendant either pleads guilty or is convicted of something. But I do want to tell you that the best way to redeem awfulness is to pray for the victims, and there are thousands of them, not just those who are struggling for their lives, who lost their lives, who are injured for life, but for their siblings, their children, their parents. I was reading online the report on the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal of a dad who was holding a child who was seizing, and whose mother collapsed, and he held her, and he had been with the marching band, that his daughter survived and wasn't hit. It's just one of the most awful things I think I've ever reported on. I was on the air live for hours and hours and hours on 9/11. That was the worst ever. This is going to be in the top five of things on which I've had to report because of the circumstance. There's a lot of suffering every day in the world. If you see it, you know it. If you avert your eyes, you kind of still know it. This is as bad as it gets. It will, by the way, I think, throw into relief the perspective we need on the Rittenhouse verdict. Charlie Kirk is going to interview Rittenhouse tomorrow, and good on Charlie for getting that interview. It'll be interesting to hear Kyle Rittenhouse talk to Charlie Kirk tomorrow. But I got to tell you, this story almost reduces all the other news to secondary, but it shouldn't. Our tennis star in China, who is being allowed to make a video and smile, and they even, I mean, the ham-handed Chinese authority even put in a Winnie the Pooh picture to show that it was, you know, not coerced, which is like giving it away. This is coerced. I'm happy. Look, do not go near the PRC. This is what they do. And the hypersonic story, which I covered earlier, that is also what they do. Just don't get near it. Let me do tell you to get near relieffactor.com. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt entered an objection saying that I don't go to the store for her nearly enough. But I do. She actually complained of turkey elbow yesterday. Many of you have turkey elbow, right? Turkey elbow is that injury that occurs when you're getting down dishes that you get down once a year. And we're preparing for 17. And I will, of course, be doing most of the cooking. Not at all. I will be doing the dishes, which is my traditional. And I will be wrangling children. I told you that the destroyers are coming. The Scholar and the Artful Dodger and Genghis Kate are coming. And Genghis Kate is the two-year-old. And so I'm on alert. I'm trying to put stuff high. I'm trying to get things out of reach. You know, defending against a two-year-old is actually kind of impossible. And so that's my job this week. But the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt is busy wrestling. She got turkey elbow. Many people get turkey elbow. It's a lot like tennis elbow. ReliefFactor.com will work for you. $19.95. Go and take it. Take it every day. Thanksgiving through Christmas and New Year's. That's what you need. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. Morning, Glory America. Bonjour. Hi, Canada. Hugh Hewitt on a dark morning in Wisconsin and across the United States and indeed across the world as people across the globe turn and say, what is wrong with that country? Because I actually don't recall cars running through parades anywhere else. I'm joined by Congressman Ken Buck of the wonderful state of Colorado, who I originally wanted to have on to talk about redistricting, but I'll ask him first. Ken Buck, what's your reaction to this Wisconsin parade? Just horror.
It is horror, and it's terribly sad. I have very little information about the person who committed these crimes. I understand that he's in custody. My guess is he's obviously mentally unstable, and I don't know if there was a further motive than that. We've seen these kinds of acts in France and in other places, but having a number of people dead just really sad.
Children marching bands, dancing grannies. We've had jihadis before attack using cars, but this is not that, at least according to early reports. This is it's dumbfounded. I've appealed to people just redeem the moment by going over to HughHewitt.com. Give to Angel Tree. That benefits children. We can't benefit these people, but you can pray for them. Ken, let me go to the story. The reason I originally asked you to come on today, Congressman Buck is, of course, from Colorado. He's running for re-election. They're drawing districts in Colorado. I do not understand what is going on there. I don't understand what's going on in a lot of states.
where they've adopted hybrid systems. I used to understand redistricting pretty well. It was up to the state legislatures. People gerrymandered everywhere when they could, because that's what Americans do. They seek for advantage in politics, and people work it out through politics. But I do not understand what's going on in Colorado. What is going on there?
Well, we passed a constitutional amendment for a new a commission that would redraw the congressional boundaries as well as the state legislative boundaries. The commission met. They had a number of hearings, 30, 40 hearings around the state, gathered information. They had a number of different maps that they voted on. And finally, I think it was the fourth map, maybe even the fifth map that they agreed to and have redistricted the state. What we have now are three safe Republican seats for the most part. I say safe, you could never be too safe, but pretty safe seats. We have three pretty safe Democrat seats. We have one lean Democrat seat and one a toss-up seat in Colorado. So we have we added an eighth congressional district in Colorado this decade as a result of the last census.
So talk to me about who's on this commission, because I looked at the map. In the Ohio map, they actually kept counties together, and it just seems to me that it made a lot of sense. I don't think this Colorado map makes a lot of sense, does it?
Well, they didn't keep counties together. They kept some political subdivisions like cities and other areas together. But it's interesting. I think that they tried their best to create a competitive seat, and in so doing, they had to pull major urban or major population areas out of counties. And so you're absolutely right. A lot of the counties around Denver, the high population area of Colorado, got split up. And I think it really, in my district, I lost Greeley, Colorado, and sort of one of the population centers so that they could create this eighth district.
Yeah, you know what makes me crazy about this stuff? I understand the arguments are political on both sides. I've always been just a let the chips fall if it's a political process. But when you pretend not to be a political process and you end up trying to create a, quote, competitive district, that's actually overclass propaganda. That's, oh, competitive districts are good for the country. No, they're not. Nothing is necessarily good or bad. It's political. It depends on what you believe and who wins, whether or not it's good or bad. But the idea that the overclass says competitive makes sense, and therefore we're going to cut Greeley out of Ken Buck. I didn't know that, by the way, until you just told me. That's just stupid reasoning. Don't they ever step back and say we're being stupid?
Well, I don't think they acknowledge that they're stupid, but I can tell you this. What they tried to do in the eighth, the new district, is to create a Hispanic, quote-unquote Hispanic Latino district.
That's unconstitutional. You can't use race in the drawing of districts. You can't. It's like the one rule there is.
And so they call it a community of interest, and that's exactly what they do. They did. They have open debates about their intention. But to suggest that the Hispanic or Latino community in Colorado is monolithic is crazy. And to draw a district for a group of people that have very diverse interests, the people who live in rural Colorado, in Greeley and other places in northern Colorado, much different interests, views, values than the people who live right in the Denver area, in Denver itself. So I agree with you that they're, the whole premise of their position on in this map is really faulty.
You know, I like to tell people, the Chief Justice of the United States, people criticize him from left or right, but the one great thing he said in Seattle school districts, so I think it's a 2007 case, the way to end discrimination on the basis of race is to stop discriminating on the basis of race. And that is, by the way, what they just did. If they drew a district based upon Latino population, they discriminate on the basis of race. It's unconstitutional as the day is long. Is anybody suing over these maps? Because we end up with judge-written maps for a reason.
Well, there is a group suing, and it turns out to be that Latino group, and are suing. They are suing because it's not discriminatory enough. And it is fairly amusing, and I appreciate your laughter because...
Well, it is!
The other groups, the Democrats aren't suing, the Republicans aren't suing. The only group that's suing is a Hispanic group that thinks they didn't get enough Hispanic representation.
You know, Ken Buck, you've been at this a long time. You were the Attorney General for a while, so you know your law, and you've been in Congress a while. What year were you elected to Congress?
2014.
And you'll be reelected as long as you want to be reelected. How long are you going to go for, by the way, Congressman? Another decade, two?
No.
That's what I said about my radio career 20 years ago.
Yeah. I have no end date in sight, but I certainly hope there are other opportunities for me out there. The more I stay in Congress, the less employable I get. So,
well, that's true.
Sure what else I'm
but you're going to be in the majority. Right. I mean, there's no way after the Democrats pass this Do you know that there's $200 million for Nancy Pelosi's park in this bill? You know, the Presidio gets $200 million.
The devil is always in the details with these bills. And it fascinates me. The, you know, the Kennedy Center money that was in the bill back a couple years or a year and a half ago. It's amazing how much they could slide into a 2000 page bill. When they give it to you at the last minute and nobody really has a debate about it. The votes were locked in long before the bill was drafted.
$200 million. What's the closest park to your house, Congressman? Because when you get in the majority, you're going to want $200 million for it, aren't you?
No, I'm not. Actually, I don't want $200 million for a park.
But did it come up? Did anyone? I wrote a column about it. It'll be over at the Post because I'm just so astonished at the brazenness of the speaker. Because the Presidio is a beautiful place. It's surrounded by Pacific Heights. No, they're in the house in Pacific Heights. That's less than $10 million, right? That you get a fixer upper for $10 million in Pacific Heights. And so the Pacific Heights Neighborhood Park is the Presidio, and they got $200 million after they've gotten millions of dollars over 25 years. There is no limit to their avarice.
Oh, absolutely. And I understand that the speaker now is house hunting in Florida because she wants to be in a, a Republican state that respects individual choices concerning COVID and other issues. And so I'm afraid that if people from California keep moving into the rest of our states, we're going to be in real trouble.
Well, you know, I haven't heard that yet. But if she goes to Florida for zero income tax and becomes one of the, you know, I'm a tax exile. I live in Virginia now. I just did not want to pay California taxes anymore. And I'm also getting up at the crack of dawn. So, Congressman Buck, in terms of what you expect to see, we got less than a minute. The 2022 elections will be a referendum on Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. Are you confident the Republicans will get the gavel to over to Kevin McCarthy come next year, December?
Very little doubt in my mind. I think there's a 99% chance that Republicans win the House. I think it's clear to see from the Democrats who are retiring that it is going to be a Republican majority. The question really is, Hugh, do we do what we need to do and to start to roll back the terrible programs that we have seen in the Build Back Better plan and other spending that the Democrats are engaged in?
The only answer I think makes sense is I hope so. Ken Buck, always a pleasure to talk to you, friend. Be well. Ken Buck, one of the great people of Congress, longtime friend, former Attorney General of Colorado. My KNUS audience knows him well. Don't go anywhere, America. I'll be right back on the Hugh Hewitt Show. I want to remind you that our sponsor is andrewandtodd.com. They're with Sierra Pacific. They lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to andrewandtodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway live. It's a grim morning across America and the world as they look at what happened in Wisconsin. But I have a little bit of good news to add to an otherwise grim morning. I'm joined by Kristen Wagoner and Baronelle Stutzman. You know Baronelle from her long, long, long effort, now over, to defend her religious beliefs by refusing to participate in ceremonies with which she does not agree because of her faith. She'd been represented for years by Kristen Wagner and the Alliance Defends, Alliance Defending Freedom. Good morning, Baronelle. Good morning, Kristen. Good to have you back. Baronelle, you're such a... I'll bet your heart is breaking for the other grandmothers in the world this morning as we look at Wisconsin. You won't be worried about yourself or talking about your case. You'll be worried about these people. I know you.
Absolutely.
And Kristen, same way, right?
Yes. Our hearts are troubled, and we're praying for them, praying for the healthcare providers that are serving them in these moments as well.
So with that, I just wanted to acknowledge it so that people know we are, of course, thinking about people like that. But I do want to update them. And perhaps I'll start with you, Kristen. Would you remind us of Baronelle and the florist shop, the facts, the result, the fact that the court did not do what it ought to have done last year and give her relief, but you finally brought about an end to this case?
Sure. Baronelle served her customer, Rob Ingersoll, for nearly a decade. She designed dozens of arrangements for he and his partner. But when he came in and asked her to design custom arrangements for a same-sex ceremony, she said that was the one event that she couldn't do because of her relationship with Christ. The state of Washington and then the ACLU pursued Baronelle relentlessly through the court system, not just suing her shop, Arlene's Flowers, but actually suing her personally so that it could punish and ruin her, taking nearly all she owns. She needed to choose between her convictions and facing severe financial penalties. The case had a long history. It went up to the U.S. Supreme Court at the same time Masterpiece Cake Shop with Jack Phillips did. The U.S. Supreme Court wiped out the bad Washington decision, sent it back down. The bad Washington decision got put back in place. And then just this last summer, the Supreme Court denied hearing Baronelle's case for a second time. And that left us to where we are today, Hugh, and we were able to reach a settlement. And I can go into that, but I've talked long enough. But it was really a miracle and a gift from God, we believe, that got us into that position to allow Baronelle to retire.
Now, Baronelle, you are able to retire finally and stop this battle. I am still disappointed deeply in the Supreme Court. I understand their law and logic. I understand that they didn't want to hand down too many decisions at once, but they had to avert their eyes from your situation. How do you feel about the courts after this long drama and finally a settlement that allows you to retire and yet the shops stay open?
Well, I'm not retired yet, but I'm getting really close.
And,
you know, I'm really disappointed that the courts didn't uphold my constitutional rights. And I hope they see past this because there's many other cases to follow mine. So we're hoping for good.
And Kristen, I believe the court, if they ever got to the merits of Baronelle's case, would have upheld her rights. Why do you suppose they didn't ever get to the merits? Did they expect a settlement like this? And is the reason the ACLU settled because they knew the third time and they would be out?
I do think that the ACLU was deeply concerned with where we're at. Just one day before the reconsideration deadline was to expire in Baronelle's case, the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in a case called 303 Creative, which is a case very similar to Baronelle's, except it's involving website designs and actual words. And Lori Smith is being compelled, under the same law that Jack Phillips is being compelled, to violate her beliefs and to have to express messages that violate her convictions. That case is pending before the U.S. Supreme Court. We're asking the court to hear that case. And it was that decision that allowed us to ask for reconsideration in Baronelle's case and gave leverage to ensure that she doesn't lose all she has, that she can pass her legal torch on to others with a case positioned at the court. And we're optimistic the court will grant cert and resolve this issue.
Now, I want to emphasize the exposure which Baronelle bravely took on over all these years. It would have been very easy to serve Rob. It would have been very easy to give up. How long has this been going on for, Baronelle? When did this start? What year did this begin?
2013.
Okay, so we are. I can't do math. I'm a lawyer. 8 years into this, and Chris, you know, thank goodness I'm not in retail, Baronelle, or we would be broke immediately. Kristen, how many pages of paper have you filed on behalf of Baronelle?
Oh, thousands of pages of paper, many, many hearings. We fought to ensure she wouldn't be personally liable, and the ACLU fought to ensure she would. Many, many court battles over the 8 years.
And so I know the court doesn't, they can't proceed on the basis of the suffering or the injustice to one person. They have to look at the big picture. But I know, Baronelle, I've met you often, you two together, you obviously love each other, have great affection for each other. Why do you think this, Kristen, is a victory?
Because my first obligation and ADF's first obligation is always to our clients.
Yep.
We need to do right by them. And the idea that a 77-year-old grandmother could lose everything she owns because she politely served a gay customer for 10 years and didn't do his marriage is just unthinkable. It's something that that can't happen. But second, you know, God provided, I believe, an opportunity not only to resolve Baronelle's case, but another opportunity to get these cases before the court. So she's able to retire on her timing, and we are able to continue the cause to affirm the principle that no one should be forced to express a message that violates their convictions. And Baronelle has stood not only for her own beliefs, but even for those of Rob and Kurt, for their freedoms as well, even if they don't realize it.
And Baronelle, I want to take the opportunity to thank you. A lot of people don't do this because they don't want the attention. They don't want the abuse. We hear about threats and we hear about the awful climate in which we live today. You have lived through that. And I know how awful it's been and how many people have tried to turn you into. You're like the least villainous villain that the left has ever come up with. I mean, they can't really make you into a villain. But what is your perspective on this at the end of it?
Well, you know, my faith has never been a decision for the courts or for somebody else. My faith is in God, and it's really pretty simple. I trust that God's plan is better than mine, and my job is just to be faithful for his word. And yes, there has been a cost over these years to stand, but there's a bigger cost if we don't stand.
Let me ask this, Kristen, as a concluding summary here. Is there any restriction at all on Baronelle talking about her faith, her case, did the ACLU get a gag order of any sort on Baronelle?
Absolutely not.
And that allows her to continue to witness and to talk about her case and to encourage others to be strong in their religious liberty. What, no matter what that religion, she happens to be a Protestant like most of my audience is, or a Catholic like most of our audience is. They're just basic Christian, mere Christian. But for any religious believer or no belief at all, Alliance Defense steps up. Any doubt about that she's an encourager, Kristen?
Not at all. She's inspired millions of others in their own battles to live their faith out in the public square.
Baronelle, again, thank you. Will the Thanksgiving be different this year? You're not going to have to tell people whether or not the house is going to be sold to pay the judgment?
No, I get to have Thanksgiving with my family, and there's going to be 19. And I hear you're going to have a big family gathering, too. So happy.
Well, we have 17. We have 17, but I have a Genghis Kate coming, a two-year-old. Do you have any two-year-olds going to your house?
I do.
You see, that's always the wild card, right?
Absolutely.
Kristen, how about you? Are you going to have a wonderful Thanksgiving?
I am, yes. We're really looking forward to it. All three kids are under one roof, which doesn't happen all that often anymore.
Well, bravo to all of us. We are the lucky ones, and our prayers are for those who are suffering in Wisconsin. Thank you both. Alliance Defending Freedom at work this Thanksgiving, as they are every Thanksgiving, protecting the rights of people like Baronelle because of talent like Kristen Wagoner, her counsel through all these years. I have been inspired all these years. I go to a lot of Alliance Defending Freedom events, the Blackstone Fellows, the annual gathering, whenever I can, and they ask, I go and do it for them because they are amazing. They defend you, they defend me, they defend everyone's rights, and they do it without complaint. And I appreciate it greatly. Welcome back, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Final segment of today's show over at HughHewitt.com. You will find the Angel Tree banner at the top, but at the Washington Post, you will find my new column, Pelosi's Presidio Deal is a Reminder that Power Has Its Perks. I'm joined by Hotline Josh on Twitter, Josh Kroshauer from the National Journal. Josh, Nancy Pelosi tucked into the Build Back Better bill $200 million for her neighborhood park, the Presidio. $200 million for a park that is 10 blocks from her house, if that. What in the world were they thinking when they voted for this? It's like political suicide.
Yeah, I mean, look, that remember the earmark debate in the Republican Party? That kind of behavior, getting perks for your local congressional district, is frankly all too common in Congress. It doesn't surprise me a whole lot. It's probably when we look at all the details, and it is just the House version of the Build Back Better bill. But is it the infrastructure bill or the Build Back Better bill?
It's Build Back Better.
Okay, it's the Build Back. It's the proposal. But you know, there's going to be stuff sorted out in the Senate. It's going to be coming back to the House for another vote. So we'll see what stays in it, what gets taken out. But these types of personal perks, you know, which once were seen as sort of a way to lubricate the legislative process, giving, you know, money to certain members of Congress who might not otherwise vote for legislation in their district, you know, it's become seen as corrupt and not a healthy part of the legislative process.
Josh, you've been around a while. You remember the Bridge to Nowhere, Ted Stevens' infamous Bridge to Nowhere, right? It was just pure pork. It actually began the earmark revolt. But that was for the poor people of Alaska who didn't have anything else to do, right? They could fish for salmon, they could go hunt moose, and then they could build a bridge to nowhere. This is the Presidio, $200 million for the Presidio.
Yeah, I mean, I'm actually surprised that it was in the Build Back Better bill, not the infrastructure package, but at least that nominally might have some connection to infrastructure or to parks and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, look, there's a lot. I bet there's going to be a lot more of this type of waste we see. I mean, look, the House version of that bill costs over $2 trillion. I mean, it's not just going to pre-K. It's not just going to climate change. There are a lot of other perks and goodies that are part of the legislation that folks haven't gone over with a fine tooth comb like you did, Hugh. So, you know, there's going to be a lot more of that kind of stuff in there and ripe for a lot of political opponents of this legislation to say, hey, this is not a useful use of taxpayer funds.
I look for defining features. I was going to write about restoring the salt because that's a gift to me. I own property in both on both coasts. I'm in a house in California that I'm never going to sell. That has high property taxes, and now I live in Virginia. So yeah. The salt deduction thing that they worked out, it's just like a gift to Hugh Hewitt. I can't believe it. What were they thinking?
Well, I mean, keep in mind, Hugh, when Trump's tax reform and cuts passed in 2017, the only Republicans to vote against the tax reform, I believe, were in California and New Jersey, New York, right? I mean, the highest tax areas in the country. So all politics still is a little bit local. Obviously, the Democrats in those states, Josh Gottheimer was probably the chief proponent of rolling back or of expanding the deduction again. You know, he's making this, you know, as a case for cutting taxes to his constituents. So that's how he actually got on board with voting for the Build Back Better legislation.
I didn't think
it's not good politics, though.
I didn't think it was going to be possible to make the political environment worse for Democrats after redistricting and after all the inflationary impact and after Virginia. But this is all after that. They put $200 million for the Presidio, Nancy Pelosi's park, in the bill, and they gave a tax deduction to millionaires and 10 millionaires and 100 millionaires. So, Josh Krushauer, I, is there anything in your experience this reckless politically as this bill?
Well, look, I think the bigger political problems for Democrats on the bill is that a lot of people are worried that it's accelerating. It would accelerate inflation.
Yes.
In fact, you look at the CBO score. You look at the details. I mean, they basically, you know, are assuming there's only going to be a handful of years of spending for the goodies, and they're not calculating the likelihood it's going to pass. A lot of these entitlements and these programs are going to be extended indefinitely, creating a huge tax burden and a huge weight on the deficit. There was actually a Politico poll that came out this morning showing a plurality of voters worried about they're worried that this is going to increase inflation. The Build Back Better bill will increase inflation. I think only about 12% believe the Biden administration's spin that this was actually designed to reduce inflation. So that's the big, I mean, that's the number one issue for voters right now. They're going to the pump, they're buying groceries, they're going on Amazon buying goods, and they're seeing the prices go up pretty significantly. And that is the biggest concern for voters, and the risk that this White House faces is they seem totally unconcerned with the biggest issue on the minds of Americans right now.
Not only unconcerned, indifferent. It is the worst thing in America to be seen and to be in office and to be indifferent to the woes of working people. And that's Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi. Maybe it's worse to give yourself $200 million for your neighborhood park. That's probably the worst bit of politics I've ever seen from the alleged political genius in the speaker's chair is going to lose the speakership twice. Josh Krushauer, happy Thanksgiving to you. I want to close the show today by asking everyone to pray for everyone involved in the Wisconsin horror. to redeem the morning by being generous at HughHewitt.com to children whose mom or dad is in jail. In a way, we will tell you about fundraising efforts to help those in Wisconsin when they are legitimate and verified. Pray for them now. Worry about children who are taken care of by Prison Fellowship. Thank you, Adam and Ben. Thank you, Generalissimo. Thanks, all of you out there. I will be back tomorrow. Prayers for you folks in Wisconsin. I'm Hugh Hewitt. Talk to you tomorrow.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.